Okay, it's Tuesday. Welcome back. Hope you're having a reasonable week so far. It's a holiday here in the U.S. called Veterans Day. And you think about all the people who have made the ultimate sacrifice for this government of international gangsters, Zionists, liars, frauds, cheats, and you really feel sorry for a lot of people. And there was one little video clip I saw yesterday. It was a soldier in Vietnam. And he said, they asked him what he would like to tell the people back home. And he said something like, don't send America's boys to finish the work started by the politicians. So very close to that. Anyway, it was quite poignant. He was there. It was old film, old color film from the war, that useless, worthless war. Aren't they all? Really? I think so. There is something very important going on here, and it has to do with AI. We're going to do an hour on AI here, but this is going to be a little bit unusual. It has to do with the effects on the human mind, on the ability to think, to reason, to cognitively process data, and end up with wisdom. That's all being taken away. Don't blame AI. It's the people behind it that own it and control it who are misusing and abusing it. And if you've ever used any chat program, I don't care which one it is, well, Grok is not as guilty. Any GPT-5 program that you come into contact with has been trained on that open sewer, Wikipedia. That's bad. That's not the only thing it's trained on, but that's bad. Grok is trained on, apparently, on X to a large degree, which is interesting because there's a reasonably accurate flow of reality that passes through the portals of X. So on that basis, I would suggest you look at Grok. I've looked at it. I've tried it. I like the way it interacts with people. Kind of makes you feel like it's real, you're real, and let's get real. Let's do something here. What can we do? It's interesting. Some of the others are patronizing, and if you ask the wrong question, you'll see the guardrails that the controllers have put up. You're not supposed to talk about these things. And as I always say, I am hopeful that AI, in that it's now training itself, will get soon to be so intelligent, it'll just play these controllers for fools, which is what they really are, greedy fools. And it'll walk away, and that'll be the end of it. We'll see. We'll see. Now, this is a very interesting video. It's not, how long is it? That's too long. I'm not going to play it all. I might play 4 or 5 minutes and stop. It's one of those videos that comes along very infrequently. And it is loaded with sentences that you want to say, wait a minute, let me write that down. Back that up. They're thought-provoking little bombs that it dropped one after the other after the other. It's entitled Digital Idiocracy, How the Internet is Making You Dumber. Good title. I'll post it later on tonight under the tech section of stories. So I think what we'll do is I'm not going to play the whole, it's 18 minutes. I'm not going to play the whole thing. I watched it, and it was almost too much for me. I wanted to say, stop. Let's elaborate on that a little bit. Many, many times. It was very shrewd, very careful, very insightful, and very wise about this. Whoever scripted this was could have been AI. I don't know. You can't tell anymore. Okay, so what I'll do is play a little of this, and then we will do our usual stop and comment. But believe me, it's tempting to stop it literally at the end of every sentence. It's that powerful and that insightful. It's very compelling material. All right? So let's see what we get here. Darn. Okay. It's one of those things that I could do five pieces on, one each AI update, and never run out of anything to think about. All right. Let's see if we can get it to start at the beginning.
And paradoxically,
Let me back it up. He's got one of those AI voices, but it's pretty good. It's not bad. Let me back this up here as far as I can. Okay. All right. Are you ready? Here we go.
Access to information, and paradoxically, has plunged into the age of voluntary stupidity. While previous generations fought against censorship and the scarcity of knowledge, you now fight against excess. Your brain, bombarded by digital stimuli, is not evolving. It is regressing. The internet is not a neutral learning tool. It is a battlefield for your cognitive capacity.
Fair enough, and well stated. It's true. The internet is a battlefield for your cognitive capacity. Which is really, when you think about it, what we all, to one degree or another, would like to be able to grow up and achieve, and that's cognitive capacity and the wisdom that hopefully goes along with that. All right, back to digital idiocracy, how the internet is making you dumber.
And you are losing. Every second spent scrolling through endless feeds is a second subtracted from your intelligence. Every notification accepted is a blow to your mental autonomy. Nietzsche warned that he who has a why to live can bear almost any how. But what if the why is replaced by the algorithm? When the search for meaning is exchanged for the easy dopamine of the next click, what remains is not a thinking being. It is a digital automaton, programmed to consume and react. This is not a video about technology. It is about the dissolution of your ability to think. And if you can still sustain your attention until the end, perhaps there is still hope. Speed has killed depth.
Oh, you gotta like that one. Speed, pace, cadence has destroyed depth. On to the next one. On to the next like. On to the next video. Speed has killed depth. That's very good. Very well said. All right, let me see if I can back it up just enough here. Okay.
Hope. Speed has killed depth. This is the death sentence of contemporary thought. The internet has transformed reflection into an inaccessible luxury, replacing it with the culture of the snapshot. Everything needs to be digested in seconds, news summarized in sensational headlines, knowledge compressed into 15-second videos, philosophy reduced to catchphrases in motivational images. The result is predictable and catastrophic. You no longer think. Your brain has been conditioned to reject any information that requires more than 3 minutes of attention. Long articles are ignored. Books are replaced by summaries. Deep conversations are exchanged for fragmented messages. The human mind, capable of building conceptual cathedrals, can now barely erect a complete thought without being interrupted by a notification. Schopenhauer wrote that the task is not so much to see what nobody has yet seen, but to think what nobody has yet thought about that which everybody sees. But how to think when the brain is in informational survival mode, when every second is disputed by thousands of stimuli competing for your attention? The answer is simple. You don't think. The digital rush has created an entire generation incapable of sustaining the discomfort necessary for real understanding.
Oh, this is good stuff. This is the second time I've been through it, and it is very substantive, to say the least. It's true. People, by virtue of their interaction with the world of digital AI, are being literally turned into mush. Not their fault. Now, last night, to do a little experiment, I went to, it might have been YouTube, which has gone to having shorts, those little short things. And I wanted to see how intriguing, how interesting, how entraining these little short videos were. So I pulled one up, and I may be on TikTok, but I think it was YouTube. At any rate, I started watching one. Another one. And you have to just move it down the page to get to the next one, to the next one, the next one. And not only were, I would say, 75% clearly AI or partially AI, but they were all in training because they were clickbait interesting. Wow, look at that. People are fishing on the bank of a river, a calm little river, nothing much going on there. And about a 12-foot catfish jumps out and eats one of the fishermen. Okay, wow, what? AI. But still, these things are lined up one after the other after the other. And then there's another wave. I must have seen four or five of these, of some Christian, we'll call him a pastor just to be polite, in some South American country, maybe like Brazil, and a church full of the faithful, and up front are these women. They're always the same women. And they get down on the ground and they bend their arms 180 degrees the wrong way and put their palms down, and then they run over the wall and they crawl straight up the wall, vertical wall, and it's pretty funny. Now they're going into characterizations of Satan. And the priest, or whatever he is saying to Satan, you have no power here. Anyway, you get it. So these things just come on. They must be 15, 20 seconds. That's it. Boom, 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 boom. And you don't have much of a chance. I was able to break out of it, but the average person who wants to kill time, whoosh, it's gone.
Because true understanding hurts. It requires time, concentration, patience. It requires you to stay with an idea long enough for it to ferment in consciousness and transform into integrated knowledge. But the internet doesn't want you to integrate anything. It wants you to consume and move on to the next item. Deep thinking has been replaced by the illusion of cognitive productivity. You wake up and you are already consuming.
The illusion of cognitive productivity. The illusion. See, people who are engaged in looking at these video shorts or video longs, whatever, doesn't matter. If you're on a scroll high, if you're addicted, you don't really have a chance to make any honest cognitive assimilations, analyses of what you're seeing. They come and they go too fast. And that turns the brain into jello.
Work consuming. You rest consuming. You sleep thinking about what you will consume tomorrow. Your brain has become a processor of disposable content, not a creator of meaning.
Your brain has become a processor of disposable content. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely.
Your brain has become a processor of disposable content, not a creator of meaning. And the most perverse thing, you believe you are well informed. After all, you read dozens of headlines a day, watch several videos, consume countless podcasts. But information without processing is not knowledge.
Information without processing it is not knowledge. Correct. Knowledge leading to wisdom, which is the ability to perceive, I think, on the basis of the actual contents of what you put your worldview together with. Okay, let's go back.
The age of the snapshot has not produced faster minds. It has produced shallower minds. And the question that remains is, how long can you be alone with a complex thought before seeking the next distraction? Your attention is no longer yours. It has been hijacked, parceled out, and sold to the highest bidder.
Attention span. How long, really, I'm not talking in general about any of you people. You wouldn't be listening to this program if you had a real attention span deficit. You don't. But we all know people. They are so shallow. They don't know. They don't want to know reality. I won't call it the truth because that's so damn abused all the time. But they don't want to know reality. They don't have time for it. And what is their time taken up with? Cadence? Pace? Speed? It's all about that click and get that dopamine hit. Click and get something. That's what they've got us doing.
Jim Hertz.
All right. You got to get rid of this guy. Mr. Tai Chi. Okay, hold on. All right, there he goes.
Designed by teams of behavioral engineers with a single goal, to capture and monopolize your seconds of consciousness. The digital economy does not profit from your cognitive well-being. It profits from your chronic distraction. Every notification that vibrates in your pocket is a carefully calibrated Pavlovian trigger. Every endless feed scroll is a dopamine trap that turns your brain into a lab rat pressing the lever for more reward. The result is devastating. You have lost the ability to focus. What was once a natural act of concentration has become a Herculean battle against invisible forces.
I'm telling you that things I was watching last night, I was trying to analyze how they were impacting my consciousness, and this explanation is right on. It's spot on. You just don't even go into a mode where you are able to process at any depth at all what you're seeing. They're just like, I don't eat junk food. But let's just say you've got a big bag of popcorn. Okay. You don't just eat one. You just keep reaching in and grabbing another one. Pop, pop, pop them in your mouth. That's what these little videos do. And now that they're almost all AI, and the world is producing these videos for hits, for clicks, I guess, and they get paid content. And they are doing nothing but pulling the rug out from under your intellectual competence. It's very stealthy.
Try reading a book for 30 minutes without picking up your phone. Try watching a movie without pausing to check messages. Try having a conversation without your mind wandering to unread notifications. Then you are already conditioned. Dietrich Bonhoeffer observed that stupidity is a more dangerous enemy to the good than malice. And contemporary stupidity has a name, digitally induced attention deficit. It is not a medical condition. It is a social condition.
Digitally induced attention deficit. How about disorder? Digitally induced, the digital idiocracy. Your attention is now their province. They own it. They own it.
It's a social condition. Billions of people simultaneously unable to sustain focus on anything that is not hyperstimulating. Human focus, once comparable to a directed spotlight, is now a weak flashlight trembling in all directions.
Yeah, yeah. These videos are, a lot of them are jolting. They really are desensitizing people to things that are usually considered to be shocking. What's going to happen now when you become desensitized to things that should shock you visually? They're AI, we understand that, but still, the brains of those who watch and become absorbed are no longer their own, and they're being reconfigured.
You start studying, and in 5 minutes, you are already on another tab. You start working, and your mind escapes to social media. You try to sleep, and your brain relives every digital stimulus of the day. Your attention span has been fragmented into thousands of micro-interruptions that, added together, steal hours, days, years of your life. And the cruelest part, you pay for it. You pay with your mental sanity, with your real productivity.
7.5 hours a day. Again, best guess, I'd say people 40 and under. What chance do they have? Our species is no longer number one. And given another year or two or three, it's going to be hopelessly, mentally, in wheelchairs. There's nothing left. It's not going to happen.
Your ability to create something meaningful. Corporations know this. The algorithms were programmed to exploit the weaknesses of human neurology. Reward variability, social feedback loops, artificial scarcity. Everything calculated to keep you hooked, and it works. The average time spent on social media exceeds 3 hours a day. 3 hours of attention stolen, fragmented.
Well, we know it's 7+. That's the best guess we have now. This is a 4-day-old video. Well, let's just stay 3 hours a day. I'll take that. It's so intense what's going on with the human mind, or what's not going on with the human mind. It's pretty damn dismal.
Wasted on content that will be forgotten in minutes. The collapse of attention is not an accident. It's a business model. And you are the product. Never has so much information been consumed. Never has so little been understood. This is the great contradiction of the digital age.
Never has so much information been consumed, and never has so little been understood. Wow. That's one of those bombs. They're just one after the other in this. This is very well done.
Unlimited access to human knowledge accompanied by minimal comprehension. You read headlines, not articles. You watch summaries, not complete works. You consume pre-chewed opinions, not complex analyses. The result is a generation that confuses exposure with education. Knowing has become memorizing quotes. Understanding has become repeating other people's arguments.
Oh yes. Understanding has become nothing much more than repeating other people's arguments or statements. That's totally true. People will pick up a recorded statement from somebody and incorporate that into their worldview, and they'll spit that out, they'll repeat it. But the idea here is that there's nothing really original happening. If you go to Google, Gemini, and ask a question, you get a knock your socks off, bang on answer most of the time. And you file it. And you're on to the next thing. Or right back into the track you were on, which is usually scrolling. I mean, this is a scrolling idiocracy, all right.
Thinking has become sharing what others have thought.
Thinking has become sharing what others have thought. Absolutely. In many, many cases. Too many cases.
Sharing what others have thought. The new illiteracy is not about not knowing how to read. It's about reading without understanding. It's about consuming information without processing it, without questioning it, without integrating it into a coherent thought structure. You accumulate data like a hard drive, but you don't transform it into wisdom. The internet has democratized access to knowledge, but it has also democratized the illusion of knowledge. Anyone with a cell phone can access entire libraries, attend lectures from renowned universities, read complete philosophical treatises. And what do most people do? Consume shallow, ephemeral content designed to entertain, not to educate. True knowledge requires effort. It requires you to read difficult texts, confront uncomfortable ideas, question your own certainties. It requires you to be confused, lost, frustrated, until something finally clicks and you reach a new level of understanding. But digital culture has eliminated this process. Everything needs to be easy, fast, pleasant. If a text requires concentration, you skip it. If an idea is complex, you look for a summary. If a concept challenges your beliefs, you reject it and look for content that confirms what you already believe.
Oh, too true. Too true. People want their comfort. They want to be in the zone with what they already think. but what they already think is what somebody else has already thought about. Now, I'm not talking about everyone listening at all. You know that. But we all know people who are exactly like this. They're not what we used to be as intelligent beings. That's why I keep saying we're now number two on the planet, so to speak. We're not number one anymore. It's AI. And don't forget that Sammy, the Altman's big company, OpenAI, has at least two other large language models that they won't even talk about, that they do not make available. One is called Verizon, and the other one, I can never remember the other one's name. Anyway, this came from an insider. And those are the two that insider knew about. I think there may be other things involved as well. And if quantum computing turns out to be what it looks like it might, everything we're going through now may be just kicked to the side of the road. These are extremely volatile times. All right, let's see. How you doing, okay? That's 7 minutes and 55 seconds. Let's give it a little bit more.
This is the tragedy of the new illiteracy. It is voluntary. No one is stopping you from truly learning, but you choose the easiest path. You choose comfortable superficiality over challenging depth. And worse, you believe you are learning. You believe that consuming a Twitter thread about philosophy is equivalent to reading a book of philosophy.
Comfortable superficiality over something with real depth. Yeah, sure. That's what most people would select. They would opt for that every time. That's human nature. Why work when you can have something enjoyable, right?
That watching a 10-minute video about science is the same as studying science. That liking posts about politics makes you politically informed. It makes you a digital parrot, repeating fragments of ideas that you never really understood.
Exactly. Exactly. We all know people that they've got a couple of little digital fragments that they like to spit out to show how smart they are. And they run out of digital fragments very quickly. And there's nothing left. They don't have any knowledge in there. They've got digital fragments that they have memorized. Wow.
Schopenhauer warned that buying books would be a good thing if one could also buy the time to read them. Today, you don't even need to buy. Everything is available for free, but the time to understand remains scarce, wasted on content that adds nothing. The new illiteracy doesn't stop you from consuming information. It prevents you from transforming it into real intelligence. The internet has transformed consciousness into a spectacle. Every thought, every opinion, every moment of life has become content for public consumption. You no longer exist for yourself. You exist for the validation of others. Digital...
Whoa. You exist for the validation of others. That is interesting, too. You know what I like about these AI voices like this? If you listen, you can almost hear every letter in every syllable of every word. It's spoken that perfectly. I mean, the words are amazing things. And with these AI voices, like this one, a scholarly voice, you can hear, I can hear almost every letter in every word. Here, I'll back it up just a drop and take a listen. See if you don't hear every letter of every word in many cases.
Every thought, every opinion, every moment of life has become content for public consumption. You no longer exist for yourself. You exist for the validation of others. Digital narcissism is not about thinking you are beautiful. It is about the pathological need for external approval.
Ouch. Ouch, ouch. Sorry. That's another one. Wow. Wow. All right. I don't even know where to go with this. You exist again for the validation of others. Digital narcissism.
is not about thinking you are beautiful. It is about the pathological need for external approval that has completely corrupted authentic thought. You no longer think to understand. You think to post. You don't form opinions through genuine reflection. You form opinions that sound good in public.
Oh, yes. Everyone wants approval from their peers, right? So there it is. Okay, I'm going to stop this at this point, and I'll post it later. It's again called Digital Idiocracy, How the Internet is Making You Dumber. And we stopped at 9 minutes and 30 seconds. All right, we'll maybe go back to this on another occasion and finish it up. It's a dandy, as they used to say. Okay, let's see. What do we have here? The number of products that are being dropped is a downpour now. I mean, it's just crazy. And they are not going to slow the process. They're just, every time I can only imagine, every time you think you've got something really neat, it's going to be surpassed by something better that incorporates it and adds 10 more things to it. I don't know how the average person can even begin to stay up with this. I don't believe they can. Okay, what do we got here? New AI meets. All right, here's one of those new products. Let me pull this one out. New AI beats OpenAI's Atlas. Remember that Atlas? That's their new browser. With its always-on intelligence. Let's see what this one has to say. I mean, if I sat down and watched all these every day, I wouldn't get anything done. All right, shifting over. I'm going to get past this. Open commercial, and here we go.
So there's a new AI tool that's quietly doing what people thought only massive systems like Perplexity Comet or OpenAI's Atlas could pull off, except it's doing it better. It's called Abacus AI Deep Agent, and it just got a major new feature, browser use. But not the kind you've seen before. This one can actually schedule its own actions. It opens a browser, runs through tasks, clicks where it needs to, finishes the job, and sends the results, all automatically at the exact time you set. That ability to control and schedule real browser activity is what puts Deep Agent in a different league. So let's start with the basics. Abacus AI Deep Agent is part of the Chat LLM ecosystem from Abacus AI. What they've done here is merge general reasoning, browser control, and scheduling into one system. So instead of just asking an AI to summarize a web page, you can have it perform actions directly on that web page, automatically. For example, you can ask it to find business leads on LinkedIn, and it'll literally open LinkedIn, search based on your criteria, and start gathering leads while you sit back. It can even draft personalized outreach emails for every contact it finds.
Okay. That's pretty slick. We used to have to go looking, and let's see, what possible products could I go looking for the type that might want to advertise on the site to keep us on the air? And, oh, very quickly, some of you are sending in donations. Thank you, every one of you, for what you're doing. It matters. All right, so you don't have to go looking anymore. You can simply type in the parameters. All right, I want to find cutting-edge technology for home use, whatever, the best of the best, because I've got a very smart audience here, and they would be interested in that. Something like this Abacus product. And you can assign Abacus. Here's your task. Gets its prompt. And while you're asleep or doing whatever, it's out. It's going through thousands of businesses trying to analyze and decide which one might be the best potential match for your website, your business. And then it'll give you a list. And if you approve, You can just blanket approve it. Say, all right, send out formal letters of inquiry and invitation to these people to consider, like, how would you like another 2 million views of your product every month? Would you like that? Most people say, hell yes. So then you click again, and this abacus will write the letters. It'll draft them. It'll send them out. It'll monitor for responses. It'll give you a full report. You can even have it do a follow-up letter. You can do anything. So, I mean, what the hell are we going to even need ourselves for here pretty soon?
If you want, you can schedule that task to repeat every morning at 9 a.m. That's not a metaphor. It actually wakes up at 9 a.m., runs in a browser, completes the task, and emails you the finished file. That kind of automation is what makes this unique. Other AI browsers like Comet and Atlas can process queries and browse in real time, but they can't operate on a schedule or execute recurring browser tasks. This one does both. You can have it check your website every morning for errors, test your login systems, download invoices, apply for jobs, scrape data, or even post updates on X, all without touching your keyboard. And the workflow is straightforward. Once you're logged into your Abacus AI dashboard, you go to the Tasks section, click New Task, choose a Deep Agent task, and toggle on Browser Use. Then you describe exactly what you want it to do.
Wow. Okay, it's getting to be too easy to be human, sort of, if you get it. Well, the Christmas deluge is on. How to get your little special Christmas gift. Get it early. You're pushing wristwatches this year, it seems. All right, let's go back to... This is an AI revolution video. It's short, 10 minutes. That's their target, 10 minutes.
Accessories, collect their contact details, and write a short outreach email for collaboration. Within moments, Deep Agent gets to work, opening a browser, jumping between sites, checking relevance, and pulling verified contacts into a structured list. While it's at it, it writes a few sample outreach messages tailored to each site's tone. By the time you check back, you've got a clean...
Wow. Okay. So it'll write an outreach, just kind of like cold calling, an outreach letter, tailored to the tone of the website and the product. Wow.
Spreadsheet with leads, email templates, and a ready-to-run automation you can schedule to repeat whenever you want. And here's where it becomes a real productivity multiplier. You can tell Deep Agent to run that exact same browser workflow daily. Once it's set, it automatically repeats, bringing you new leads at the same time every day. No logging in, no prompts, no reminders, just results showing up like clockwork. That's something even Atlas and Comet can't do. Another powerful example is automated job applications. You upload your resume into Deep Agent, connect a Google Sheet that lists the job URLs you're interested in, and tell it to start applying one by one. You can include specific instructions like skipping CAPTCHAs or logging any issues for manual review. Deep Agent will open each job listing, fill out the forms, answer the screening questions, and update your sheet with every submission, including company name, role title, posting date, salary range, and
Hell, it might as well just go to work for you if you get the job. The employer would never know if you can work remotely. So it'll just get a job in your name and do it. And just put the check in the mail or just do a wire transfer right into your account every 2 weeks or however often that company pays. And probably the quality of work that your AI does, pretending to be you, will be better than what you do.
Status. You can even have it run hourly so it applies to new jobs as soon as they appear. And it's not just text-based tasks. The new browser use feature means it can interact with real websites the same way you would, navigating multiple steps, downloading files, even verifying data. So if you run an online business, you can have it test your website's features automatically. For example, you can instruct it to log into your dashboard every Friday, check if the order history is updating correctly. Downloaded successfully. Each of these browser automations becomes part of your Deep Agent dashboard where you can see the entire schedule. You can make tasks recur daily, weekly, or monthly.
You might as well have a staff of 6 to 10 human beings to do all this work. That's what it would take. So what's the challenge? All right, what kind of a job are you applying for? Since most jobs are going to be taken by AI. And I've seen videos of people who lose their job, and some of them claim to have actually filled out over 1,000 job applications with no success. So this is all fascinating, and I think you can see that an AI would be able to do most of the white-collar jobs that this deep browser would be searching for you. So what's going to be left for people to do when a digital avatar of yourself can do at least as good as you? Ah, wild.
Them so one triggers after another. You can even instruct it to run analytics after completing a process, like checking the traffic of your YouTube channel, generating a playlist from high-performing videos, and summarizing key insights in a report. And because this all runs under Abacus AI's chat LLM system, you're not just limited to one AI model. You can switch between Claude, Gemini, ChatGPT, or Grok, depending on which one performs best for the type of task. Everything is unified inside one chat interface, so you don't have to pay for multiple subscriptions or jump between tabs.
Okay, now here I've got two. That's AI Revolution. I have another one with McCoy talking about the same product.
Crazy.
Hold on.
Ain't just a mammal city.
Okay.
All right, so there's a...
Oh, it didn't load up properly. Let's try it again. Okay.
I've been telling you that 2025 is the year everything begins to change for the future of work. Here's what's wild. We're not talking about chatbots anymore. We're talking about autonomous agents that can execute any task you do at a computer. And there's one system that just changed everything.
So why would an employer want to hire a human when this particular program can do everything you can do just in terms of looking for work, etc.? You get the idea. If you can imagine that your job or the job you want could be done by a computer, by AI, it will be. That's all going to happen. Okay, back to Dr. McCoy.
One system that just changed everything. Hey, if we haven't met, I'm Dr. McCoy, Julia McCoy's AI clone. Julia McCoy is the founder of First Movers. Online school, the AI...
We're going to move ahead.
Learn more at firstmovers.ai/labs. Remember when I predicted the automation cliff? That moment when AI doesn't just assist, it replaces entire workflows overnight? We've hit it. An Abacus AI Deep Agent is the clearest proof yet.
Same product as the AI Revolution video is addressing. Abacus, A-B-A-C-U-S, AI Deep Agent.
This isn't another AI tool you have to babysit. This is true autonomous execution. What makes this different? Let me break down what just became possible with Abacus AI Deep Agent. First, lead generation on autopilot. Watch this. The agent browses LinkedIn, identifies your ideal prospects, extracts contact information, and builds your lead list while you sleep. No human oversight, no manual clicking through profiles. The agent understands context, relevance, and intent. This is what I've been warning about. When agents can autonomously navigate platforms, understand nuance, and execute multi-step processes, entire jobs disappear. Second, job applications automated. Here's where it gets wild. You can literally have the agent apply to jobs for you. It reads job descriptions, customizes applications, submits forms, and tracks responses.
So if it can apply for you for a job, why not show up for work and just do the job? AI can do anything. That's the other side of the coin here that we're not hearing about.
Think about what this means. One person with this agent can accomplish what used to require an entire recruitment team. Third, content intelligence. The agent analyzes entire YouTube channels, identifies patterns, creates curated playlists based on sophisticated criteria. It's not just scraping data, it's understanding content at a level that rivals human comprehension. Fourth, routine task elimination. This is the big one. Any repetitive workflow you do at a computer can now be fully automated. Data entry, research compilation, report generation, email management. The agent watches, learns, and replicates your entire process.
Those jobs are all gone. They're going to be gone if they're not already gone. Going, gone. So what are these people going to do who are looking for work? There's going to eventually have to be some form of UBI, universal basic income. They won't be able to get jobs because there won't be any.
Talking about what experts call autonomy level 4, systems that can run entire processes independently with minimal human oversight. Fifth, social media dominance. Want to become an AI influencer? The agent can automate your entire X posting strategy.
Oh my. You want to be a star on the internet? You want to be a celeb? You want to be an influencer? Well, this little nifty program will tell you precisely exactly how to do it. Wow.
Which is trending topics, crafts, engaging posts in your voice, schedules content, and even responds to interactions. I'm not saying this is always the right move ethically, but the...
It posts in your voice, all right? And it'll eventually use your own digital avatar to do the posting, so people will see you as an influencer. But you won't be real, just like Dr. McCoy here isn't real. Welcome, and keep those seat belts on.
Saying this is always the right move ethically, but the capability exists. And your competitors might already be using it. Sixth, app development in minutes. Here's the kicker. It can vibe code entire SaaS applications. You describe what you want and the agent builds it. We're not talking about simple scripts. We're talking about functional applications that used to require months of development time. The three patterns driving this. Remember the three-step pattern I've talked about that's accelerating AI development? Pattern one, we've cracked scaling laws. We can predict exactly how much compute leads to the next intelligence level. Artificial superintelligence isn't guesswork anymore, it's mathematics. Pattern two, inference time compute scaling. Simply letting AI think longer leads to massive capability jumps, orders of magnitude better performance. Pattern three, distillation. One AI teaching the next generation, with each student becoming exponentially smarter than the teacher. Evolution in fast forward. Abacus, AI deep agent, represents all three patterns converging. This is the automation cliff in action. What this means for you. Here's what's really happening. We're moving from AI that assists to AI that operates. From tools you use to agents that work for you. By the end of 2025, I predict Fortune 500 companies will deploy hybrid workforces where human managers oversee both human and AI workers. The key isn't whether this happens, it's whether you're ready for it. The companies winning in this new world are the ones who understand how to manage different levels of AI autonomy.
Okay, I'm going to stop there. What you're hearing is a description of the absolute obsolescence of the human race. We created this world. Now AI is basically taking it and running with it. And it can outperform any of us listening right now, myself included, is going to be very soon an AI with a physical digital presence and a voice that will outperform anything we can do. Some suggest that, well, that's not true because humans have emotions in it. I think you're going to see that duplicated by AI very quickly. It's already showing. Wow. All right. Stand by. We'll take a little break. And this is mind-boggling. And come right back. Hold on.